Well, you guys, I'm so excited to wrap up our series, Whisper. We are looking today at something very, very specific that I'm really excited to talk about. And I want to ask you a question as we get going. And the question is this: have you ever felt stuck in your life with God, or maybe just stuck in your life in general? And as we've been building out this series, Whisper, we've been talking about ways in which we hear God's voice, we hear his whispers to us, his still small voice to us. But today I want to lean into something for those of us that feel like we're stuck. And if you don't feel stuck right now, you probably either have, or you probably will feel that way in the future. And what do we do when we feel stuck? Now, I wanted to start out with a very simple analogy that you're probably all very familiar with, and it's a GPS. Now, back in the day, that used to be actually a device you would put in your car. Nowadays, we just use it on our phones. So you have a GPS on your phone. If it's Apple, it's Siri. If it's Android, it could be any number of voices, but you put in the coordinates on a map and then you hit start. And as you're driving, that GPS will speak to you. It'll whisper to you. It will talk to you. It'll tell you, go this way, don't go that way. Turn left here. Hey, in 500 feet, take a right on this road. And it'll give you instruction. Now, what's interesting about the GPS is that if you actually pull your car over and you stop, you pause, you put the car in park, it no longer speaks. Now, it might still be on. It still knows where you need to go, but it's actually not speaking to you anymore. And the reason it's not speaking anymore is because you've actually stopped moving. There's not a problem with the GPS. There's not a problem with the speaker or the voice. There's not a problem with the coordinates. There's not a problem with the destination. And there's really not even a problem with the process. It's just that you actually stopped and you're sitting parked along the side of the road. And as soon as you put it in drive and start moving, the GPS would begin speaking again. Now, we've talked for 4 weeks about how God speaks to us and whispers to us, and we've talked about a whole bunch of things. And as we close this series, I just want to propose to you that for some of us, sometimes when we feel stuck, it may not be because God's gone silent. It may be because we pulled over and we stopped moving. And I want to talk to us about that today, because a whisper from God often leads to a step of action. We understand that. Most of us think clearly about that. But a step of action sometimes can lead to a fresh whisper from God. And if you feel stuck and you're not sure what to do next, sometimes it's time for us to move. It's time for us to take a step. And I'll explain that a little bit more. But in the Old Testament, there's a man named Abraham. He's the first man that God makes a covenant with. And in Genesis 12, 1 and 4, it says this. It says, the Lord had said to Abraham, go from your country, your people, your father's household to the land I will show you. Let me paraphrase that. God says to Abraham, leave where you are, take it out of park, get in motion, and I'll show you where to go as you go. In verse 4, it says this, so Abraham went as the Lord had told him. Because oftentimes God whispers to us and it puts us into action, but sometimes we need to take a step of action in order to hear a fresh whisper from God. Because a GPS can be turned on, have the proper coordinates, know what it wants to say to us, but unless and until we move, it's not going to speak. And I want to ask you a question is, how do you see your relationship with God? How do you see your relationship with the church, in the church? How do you see stepping out on mission? And the question is, do we see it as static or do we see it as dynamic? Do we see it as something, is church something that we go to celebrate who God is? That's a good part of it. Or is church something that we do where it becomes a dynamic, moving, flowing, active relationship with God? Because a lot of people view relationship with God and church as static. But I'm here today to remind us that relationship with God and relationship with the church is not just static, it's actually dynamic. Because sometimes when you hear God's whispers, it leads to a step of action. And sometimes we need a step of action to give us a fresh whisper from God. Now, in the Old Testament, they would get together and they would actually build something called a monument. And the monument would be about what God had done in the past. In Joshua 4, 20 through 24, it says this. It says, and Joshua set up at Gilgal the 12 stones they had taken out of the Jordan. So when they crossed the river Jordan into the promised land, they took 12 stones out of the river as they were crossing through dry ground. Verse 21, he said to the Israelites, in the future, when your descendants ask their parents, what do these stones mean? Tell them Israel crossed the Jordan on dry ground. Verse 23, for the Lord your God dried up the Jordan before you had until you, before you had crossed over. The Lord your God did to the Jordan what he had done to the Red Sea when he dried it up before us until we crossed over. Verse 24, he did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful and so that you might always fear the Lord your God. Now, this is how a lot of us view, you know, God does something. God did something in my life. God does something in the church. And then we actually just in a static way, we set up a monument and we celebrate what God did. And that is a part of getting together as God's people in the church. That's a part of walking with God, is having gratitude and celebrating what he's done. But I want to propose to you that our relationship with God and hearing from God is not always just about what he's done or what he's spoken before. It actually is a dynamic, moving thing about what he wants to speak in the future. And oftentimes, a whisper from God leads us to a step of action, but oftentimes, a step of action is needed in order to hear the voice of God. And in the New Testament, we understand this, is that it wasn't just that God parts a sea or a Jordan River, and then we set up a monument to something great God did. It's that God did something amazing through Jesus Christ at the cross and through the Holy Spirit, and that now the Holy Spirit actually actively lives and indwells in us in a dynamic way, not just a static way, but a dynamic way. In Acts 1:8, Jesus tells his disciples, he said this, he said, but you will, they're quoting something that Jesus had said in the book of Acts, says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and all the ends of the earth. Jesus had told his disciples, listen, go and wait until you're endued with power from on high. Till the Holy Spirit comes and actually lives on you and lives in you. In John 1:32, it says this, then John gave the testimony, I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on Jesus. This is when Jesus is baptized in the River Jordan. Here's what I want you to know. All through the Old Testament, there were stories where the Spirit of God or an angel of God would descend down and do something miraculous and then depart. And then they would in a static way, they would make a monument or they would celebrate what God did. But in the New Testament, when Jesus comes, he gives his life on the cross, and it says that when he dies, it says the temple where the Holy Spirit is, the curtain is torn, the Holy of Holies, and the Holy Spirit leaves the Holy of Holies in the temple. And then the Holy Spirit descends out and actually begins to live on God's people. That's why Jesus says, go and wait until the Holy Spirit comes and endues you with power from on high. That's why it says in John 1:32 that the Spirit came and rested on Jesus and didn't depart. And Jesus was setting a pattern for us as we lived forward. And then he told us to wait until that power came on us. And in 1 Corinthians 6:19, it says, do you not know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Let me paraphrase all of that and say it this way. In the Old Testament, God would do something miraculous and then they would memorialize it. In the New Testament, God already has done something miraculous. That's that the Holy Spirit of God lives in you and lives in me when we receive Jesus Christ. And that now there's this dynamic, not just static, but dynamic experience that we have with the Holy Spirit, with God himself, God, the Holy Spirit. And so here's the thing, you guys, is that yes, sometimes God's whispers come and then we take action, but sometimes through the power of the Spirit, we take action and then we hear freshly from God. It's like a GPS that's on all the time. It's God's Spirit living and dwelling in us, speaking to us, leading us and guiding us. And sometimes until we move, the Spirit isn't gonna speak. Now our interaction with God is now not only static, but also dynamic. It's listening and it's moving. So the GPS only talks when we're moving. You can only steer a ship with a rudder while it's moving, right? I don't know if you ever tried to drive a boat before, but if the motor's not on, you can't steer the ship. The motor has to be on. The rudder has to be moving. The boat has got to be moving. So here's what I need you to know until we go any further. The Holy Spirit is in us. God lives in us. We are now the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that means that we are not just living in a static reality where God shows up from time to time and does something. We're living in a dynamic reality where God's Spirit lives in us and we hear from God, but we also act in God so we can hear from God. So viewing our relationship with God, listening to his whispers as a dynamic relationship leads us to a couple ideas that we need to understand. And I want to lead us through a couple of those concepts today. So if you're taking notes, here we go. Number one, here's what I want you to know, is that God doesn't do anything alone. Say, Pastor Scott, that's a really big statement. God can do anything that he wants. Yes, God can absolutely do anything that he wants to do. God can do anything that he wants to do. And God doing anything that he wants to do means that God often, maybe always, partners with human beings. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, God can do whatever he wants to do, but God has decided that he's going to interact with humans through humans. And I heard this years ago, but someone said this. They said, name me one place in the Bible where God does a miracle without human partnership. And it, other than creation, it's really hard to pick anything out where God does something, a miracle, in total disconnection to human partnership. Even something as simple as the naming of the animals in the Old Testament, something that we would really kind of probably just gloss over. But in Genesis 2:20, it says this. This is the beginning of the Bible where God is, it's the story of creation where God creates the world, and then he creates Adam as a man. And then God and Adam are already partnering together in creation. It's really, really cool. Genesis 2:20, it says, so the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. Adam is literally naming the animals as God's creating them. Can you picture this? God's like, he's just, however he does it, through a spoken word or whatever, he just like, poof, like there's like a giraffe, right? But it's not called a giraffe yet, but God poofs a giraffe out. And then he's like, Adam, what are we going to call that one? And Adam, you know, Adam is a genius. He's naming all the animals. He's like, giraffe. That's a giraffe. And then God's like, cool. And then God's like, pops out like an elephant. And then he's like, Adam, what is this? And he's like, elephant. And then, you know, he's naming all the animals. Adam is a genius. He's a creative genius. And by the way, this is pre-fall. This is pre-sin, because Adam gets stupid when sin comes. By the way, we all get stupid when sin comes. Sin makes us stupid. So God created Adam brilliant, and he's naming the animals, and God trots them out one by one: zebra, elephant, hippopotamus, duck-billed platypus. And Adam is being very creative, and he's doing all these things. And then, you know, it's interesting because there's a debate, not a real debate. This is kind of just a joking debate, but the joke is what was the last groups of animals that Adam named? Because you got to think that by the time Adam gets to the end of animals, he's like really tired of naming stuff. He's like, he's kind of come up with every good idea. These guys like giraffe, elephant, hippopotamus, duck-billed platypus. And he's like, I am tired. So maybe people think maybe it was the birds, you know, like, you know, some of the bird names kind of need extra creativity. It's like Adam was getting tired. You know, he's like, God's like trotting the bird out. And he's like, hawk. He's like, falcon. Eagle. And then Adam kind of starts to get sleepy. He's like, blackbird, bluebird, redbird, yellow legs. That one's pecking wood, woodpecker. That one made a funny noise, warbler. You know, he's just getting really, really bored. We're not really sure, but we know this. We know that God and Adam partnered together in creation. God and Adam partnered together to name the animals. God sets a pattern that he partners with human beings all through the Old Testament and all through the New Testament. And I want to submit to you that God needed Adam to name the animals, not because God wasn't capable of naming the animals by himself. Of course, he could have done that. God created the animals. But it wasn't that God couldn't do it. It was that God decided to partner with Adam to do it. And God chooses to limit oftentimes his interaction with humanity by working through humanity. And even in creation, which we would say, well, that was the one miracle that God didn't partner with anyone to do, we would look at that, and God says in Genesis 1, it says, let us make man in our image, which Bible scholars believe that's the Trinity, that God never does anything alone. Let me say it simple like this. God works in partnership. Okay, God works in partnership. That means that our understanding of him and our relationship with him can't just be static. Well, I'm going to sit back and wait for God to do something and then just celebrate what he does. No. God partners with human beings, which means that God is dynamically working in us and through us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 20, even in the ministry of salvation after Jesus comes to earth, God is not done working and partnering with human beings, which, by the way, Jesus was God. He was also a human being. So God works through humans in that capacity as well. But after Jesus has actually ascended to heaven and the plan of salvation is in motion, God actually, Jesus hands the keys to the church to his 12 disciples. And then even as we read forward ahead in 2 Corinthians here, check this out, the letter to the Corinthian church, and really ultimately to you and to me, look at this. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new is here. All of this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ. Okay, so God did the miracle through Christ, reconciling humanity to himself. But watch this. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. Verse 20, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Did you catch that? We're partnering with God. And then look at this. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Listen, God doesn't do anything alone. We cooperate. We partner. God partners with human beings. That means it's not just a static relationship with him. That means it's a dynamic relationship with him. Number two, another thought here is that God doesn't do our part. Remember, we talked about the GPS, and sometimes when you park, the voice stops. God doesn't do our part. By God's grace, he does so much, but there are some things that he won't do, and that's our part. God doesn't do our part. And some people get upset at God. Some people get mad at God. I'm sure I've been upset and mad at God in certain areas because they think he's not doing his part. And sometimes God's already done his part and he's waiting for you and he's waiting for me to do our part. We are waiting for God to show up in some sort of static mindset, thinking that he's just going to fairy poof something into existence when God has given us what we need in order to move. It's like the GPS waiting for us to drive so it can continue to speak. And we say things like, God, I know you can fix this. Why aren't you doing something? And God might answer to us something like this. I gave you everything you need to address the problem. I can help you when you move. Just kind of an illustration here. Just if you had a big pile of dirt in your backyard, and let's say that I owned a landscaping company, and I brought my bulldozer over to your house, and I parked it in your yard, and I put the instruction booklet to the bulldozer on your table, and I put the keys to the bulldozer on your table, and I left them there. And I said to you, hey, here's my phone number, which I've written down on the manual. It's there. You can call me whenever you need me. And I said, hey, would you just do one thing? Would you text me or call me and give me the date that you're ready to move the dirt, and I'll come help you. And just let me know. And then on the date that you're going to move the dirt, I'll come help you. You already got the bulldozer. You got the keys. You got the instruction manual. It's in your yard. Here's the thing. That'd be amazing. And guess what? As an owner of a bulldozer company, a dirt moving company, I would have done my part. And here's the deal. Now there's a step that you have to take. And the step that you have to take is that you have to actually pick up the phone and call me or text me. And then you've got to be willing to do your part of actually moving the dirt. Now, as an owner of the company, I've done everything that I can do to set you up for success. But you actually have to take a step. You actually have to dial a number. You actually have to turn a key. And you can keep complaining about the dirt in the yard. And you could actually keep complaining about me. Why did he just take off? Why isn't he here moving the dirt? And the thing is I've said, hey, listen, I've put everything that you need on your table. Everything that you need is in your yard. Everything that you need is accessible to you. By the way, I'll come help you. I need you to text or call me on the date that you're ready to move the dirt. Matthew 16:19 says this. Jesus says, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Listen, we've been given the keys to the kingdom. The keys have been left on our table. And here's the thing about keys. Keys unlock things. But keys only unlock things when you put the key in the lock and you turn it. Right? Are you tracking me? You can have the keys. God could give you the keys. God could leave the bulldozer in your yard. He could put the keys on your table. You still have to take the key, put it in, and turn it. Here's the deal, you guys. God doesn't do our part. So the question is this: why isn't the dirt in your life moving? Why isn't the dirt in your life moving? Sometimes God didn't leave you a bulldozer. Sometimes it's not God's timing. Sometimes it's not God's plan. Sometimes it's just in God's sovereignty, it's not time for the dirt to move yet. But I want to propose to you today that many times God has already put the bulldozer in your yard. He's put the keys on your table. He's left his number. He left the instruction manual, and he said, I'll be here to help you whenever you're ready to move the dirt. It's on you. Pick up the phone and call me and put the key in the ignition and turn it, and let's move some dirt. Because sometimes it isn't God's timing, and sometimes it isn't God's will to open something. But sometimes it's that we're not making a phone call for help. Sometimes it's that we're not using the key to unlock the lock. Sometimes we're not asking God for his help and taking that step. Because remember, guys, we said this at the beginning, that sometimes we hear God's whisper and we take a step of action. And sometimes God is waiting on us to take a step of action so that he can speak the next direction. Remember the GPS when we're parked on the side of the road. So again, find a place in scripture since creation where God did something miraculously and he didn't partner with a person. Because number one, God never does anything alone. And number two, God doesn't do our part. The third idea this morning is this, is that our part is not supernatural. Our part is not supernatural. You know, I'm not God and you're not God, and I don't have the supernatural ability to do those things. You know, even the gifts of the Spirit or the gifts of ministry or a gift to preach or a gift to lead worship or a gift for you to do whatever you do at work or a gift for you to be a sharp student, whatever those things are, do you know we call those like our gifts? Like I have a gift to teach or to preach or to pastor. But here's the thing, I actually don't. It's God's grace. It's God's gift. I'm just stewarding the gift. Right? For you in your workplace, for you as a student, it's not that I own something or you own something. It's that God gave it to us and we're now stewarding it. You know, our part is not supernatural. Do you know in the Old Testament, David slung a stone, but God made it knock out a 9-foot-tall giant. Moses lifted a rod, but God split the sea and made it dry ground for the Israelites to walk on. We can lay hands on the sick, but it's God that makes them recover. And you know, we can plant and we water, but in 1 Corinthians 3, it says one plants, one waters, but God is the one who makes it grow. God is the one who brings the increase. So let me just say this, and idea three here is this. We don't have to do the supernatural part, but we do have to do our part. The bulldozer in your yard is a supernatural instrument. It came in the scenario, if I owned the bulldozer company, it came from me. It's not your bulldozer, but it is in your yard and the keys are on your table. And so here's the deal. You don't have to do the supernatural power part of the bulldozer actually moving the dirt, but you do have to do your part, which is picking up the key, putting it in the ignition, turning the key, and then texting the number so that I can come and help. You guys, we don't have to do the supernatural part, but we do have to do our part. And that leads me to number four, our last point for this morning is this, is that our part often feels like it's first. Now, I put that together very intentionally. Our part often feels like it's first. Do you know that you and I, we never do our part first? We always do our part in response to him having done his part. He's a really good God, and he comes and he finds us and he helps us and he meets our need. God is a God who does his part first. In 1 John 4:10, it says this, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and he gave his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So when I say, well, I want to love God, or you say, well, I want to love God, I want to serve God with my life, I want to live for God, do you know we're not actually making that choice first? That choice to love God is actually a response to the love that God has already given to us. And it wraps it up here 8 verses later in 1 John 4:18, right after what I just read you, it says this, we love because he first loved us. And so here's the deal, you guys, is that the love that comes out of us toward God or toward anyone else, it actually isn't manufactured from within us. It's actually from Him. It's that He did His part first, and that love comes into our life, and then we can share that love out with other people. So here's the deal, is that our part often feels like it's first, but it's not. And if you ever had to forgive someone, do you know God is already in Christ, already forgiven you? Now you have to receive that forgiveness through accepting Jesus Christ, but here's the deal, God has already forgiven you. But when we have to turn and forgive someone else, often that feels like it's really, really hard. And it feels like we're having to go first. But the reality is we're not going first. We're just actually taking the forgiveness that's been given to us and actually giving it to someone else. But it feels like it's first. Now, this is really important because if your car is parked on the side of the road and your GPS is not speaking anymore and God is asking you to move, you can be frustrated about that. It'd be like, God, why did you leave me here like this? Why did you put me in this position? God, why is the dirt in my yard not moving? And we can get frustrated about God. We can get frustrated about the dirt and we can complain. But the thing is that God has already done His part. And God often is asking us to do our part, but it's not the first part, but it feels like the first part. And so theologically, you guys, God does His part first. But functionally and practically, our part feels like it's first oftentimes. And that's why oftentimes we're waiting for God to show up. We're waiting for God to do something. And oftentimes God is waiting on us to start driving. Oftentimes, we're asking God to steer a boat, to steer a ship, and the ship's not moving, and God is waiting for us to turn the engine on. He'll help us, but He's waiting for us to move. The GPS is on. The destination is inputted. There's nothing wrong with the GPS. There's nothing wrong with the voice. There's nothing wrong with the destination. Everything is in order. It's just that the car is parked on the side of the road, and it's time for the car to move. Sometimes God's whispers lead us to a step of action, and sometimes a step of action empowered by the Holy Spirit, because remember, He lives in us and we're in a dynamic relationship with God. Sometimes the action leads to a fresh whisper from God. In Matthew 14, 28 and 29, I'll close with this. It's the story where Peter walks on water, and in verse 28, Peter says, "Lord, if it's you," because again, just to set this up, right, they're in a storm at night. They're out in a boat. Jesus is not with them. He stayed behind to pray. And the disciples are out on the sea, and there's a big storm, and they're really scared, and it's at night. And Jesus comes walking across the water in the storm, and they think he's a ghost, and they're freaking out. And he says, "Don't fear, it's me, it's Jesus." And Peter says this in verse 28, "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." Verse 29, "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. Did you see it? Jesus is walking on the water. Peter says, "Hey, God, if it's you, let me come to you." And Jesus says, "Come." Now, I don't know exactly how this works in the supernatural. I don't know exactly how God allows for people to walk on water and the dynamics of the science and all of that and the suspending of natural law and all of those things. But here's what I do know. Peter said, "Hey, you need to do your part first. I ain't just getting out of this boat and walking to you. But if it's you, tell me I can come to you." And Jesus says, "Come to me." And at that moment, God did His part. But there's the moment, you guys, where Peter still has to sling his leg up over the boat, get out and walk on water. And God did His part first. "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat. Then Peter got down out of the boat, and Peter walks on water. So theologically, God does His part first, but functionally, it often feels scary to do our part. But God already did His part. The bulldozer's in our yard. The keys are on our table. We've been given the keys to the kingdom, but keys have to be put into a lock and turned. And so I have a question this morning as we close. What is your part? For some of us, we feel stuck. It's where we started this morning. We just feel stuck, and we've been listening for God's voice, and it seemed like for a time He was speaking, He was whispering, and we were listening, and He would speak, and we'd move, and He'd speak, and we'd move. And here's the thing. Yes, sometimes God is not is not speaking with us, moving in correspondence, because it's not his timing. It's not the right season. But sometimes, you guys, we're complaining about the dirt in our yard. We're complaining the GPS has stopped talking. And what we need to do is actually put the car in drive and pull forward. We actually need to get the keys to the bulldozer off the table, put them in the ignition, and actually move some dirt. So what is your part? What do you need to do right now? And I want to propose to you this morning that instead of waiting for God to do something, maybe this morning you could ask God what you should be doing. I'll say that one more time. Instead of waiting for God to do something, you can ask God what you should be doing. God, what's my part? God, what do I need to be doing right now? So, how do we see our interaction with him? Is it kind of we've been in like a static mindset, or do we understand that the Holy Spirit's in us and the GPS is on and the voice is ready to speak, but we can't park the car on the side of the road? Because sometimes a whisper leads to a step of action, but sometimes an action leads to a fresh whisper. And instead of waiting on him to do something, we should be asking him what we need to do. Let me pray for us. God, I pray right now, God, as we close up this morning, God, I pray that you would be speaking in a fresh way about what steps or what action steps need to be taken. And I want to be specific about that because, God, sometimes that's a fresh whisper, something that we need to do. But God, for many of us this morning, we feel stuck. And maybe if we don't feel stuck right now, we felt stuck in the past, or we're going to feel stuck in the future. And God, I pray right now, God, for all of those within the sound of my voice, God, that maybe you would even be reminding them right now about something you've spoken for them to do that they just haven't done yet. And God, they're asking for a fresh word. They're asking for a fresh whisper. God, they're frustrated about the dirt in the yard. God, they're frustrated that things won't move. And God, you've already spoken really clearly to them about what to do. And maybe they've forgotten. God, maybe it's gone by the wayside. Maybe they haven't had the courage to do it. They've been kind of locked up in fear. I don't know what it is, God, but I pray today that you would bring that word back clearly. Even right now as I'm speaking, God, that Holy Spirit, you would be bringing GPS coordinates back. And God, that for many of us, God, it's not that we need to hear you speak something again. It's that we need to actually put the car in drive and we need to just do what you've already said to do. God, because sometimes we're looking for you to whisper to us to tell us what to do. And sometimes we already know what we're supposed to do. And God, until we move, the GPS isn't going to speak. The GPS is on. The coordinates are ready. Nothing's broken. But God, we need to move. So God, I pray right now that as we ask the question, what is my part? God, you would begin to speak. God, that you would show us, God, maybe right now, maybe it's right now. God, maybe it's tomorrow. God, maybe it's next weekend. But God, I pray that God, you would remind us what action we need to take. Maybe it's a prayer. We need to pick up the phone and we need to text or call for the bulldozer. The bulldozer operator, we need help. And God, I pray that for some of us, we would pray a fresh prayer about something you've already spoken that's not fresh. I pray that we'd pray again because you told us to. God, I pray for some of us that our prayer lives would be more disciplined, God, because that's what you've been speaking to us. God, we've been asking for your whispers. We've been asking for direction about something, about where to work or where to live or who to marry or whatever it might be. And God, we've been asking you and we're frustrated that the dirt's not moving, but God, you've told us to seek you in a specific way in prayer and we haven't done it. So God, we're sorry, we repent. And God, we begin to put the car in drive and to take the step of action. God, for those of us that need to get into our Bibles in a fresh season. God, for those of us that need to repent for a sin. God, we know it's living there and we know it's sitting there. And God, we know that you know it's there. But God, I pray right now, God, that we would repent again fresh. God, that we would confess it to you. And God, repentance is not just getting caught for something that we're sad we got caught for and saying we're sorry. God, repentance is actually being remorseful and saying, I don't want to do that anymore. And Holy Spirit, will you help me? So God, for some of us this morning, we repent of something we've been doing and you've been speaking to us not to do it. God, it's something we've been listening to, or it's something we've been watching, or it's a person that we've been dating or messing around with or fooling around with, and you've spoken to us about what to do, and we just haven't done it. God, I pray this morning for the courage and the conviction to do it. God, the car's got to get in park before the GPS speaks again. God, for some of us, we've not forgiven someone. God, for some of us, we lack self-awareness, God, in our leadership and in our workplace. God, we need to humble ourselves and we need to ask for some counsel from those around us. God, for some of us, we need to start serving or we need to start giving. Financially, we need to partner finances with you. God, you've spoken to us about what to do or where to sow or how to give or how to be faithful in giving, and we just haven't done it. And God, I pray right now that we would do it. We would put the car in park. I'm sorry, not in park, in drive, from park to drive. And God, we'd begin to move. God, that we would begin to move because you've spoken for us what to do. So God, help us do our part. And God, I thank you this morning, just even in the realm of salvation, God, we have a part to play. And if you're listening to this morning, you're watching this, and you've never started a relationship with Jesus before, God has done everything that he can do. Jesus came as the Son of God, lived a sinless life, died on the cross to pay for your sin, the penalty of your sin. The Bible says he went into the grave for 3 days, and then he resurrected to eternal life, and then he turned and offered you and me eternal life as a gift. But we have to receive it. Now, that's the supernatural part, is that God actually defeated death, hell, and the grave and opened up a relational pathway for you to have a relationship with God once again. That's his part. He did his part. Your part is to receive the sacrifice of Jesus Christ by grace through faith. You can speak this out. Say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sin. Today, I confess that you're my Lord and my Savior. I want you in my life, and I want to live dynamically in relationship with you. So I do my part, God, and I surrender this life to you. Come in. Do something new in me. God, thank you for a fresh heart. Thank you for a fresh mind, and thank you for the forgiveness of sin. God, I love you. Lead me and guide me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, let us know. Text keyword element to 97,000. And on that form that you get, there's a box that says, I made a decision for Jesus today. Check that and let us know. And there's also a prayer request box on there. You can let us know. We'd love to pray, have our teams praying for you. And also, you guys, as we go into a time of worship, just want to continue to ask you to ask this question. God, what's my part? God, what do I need to do right now? What pile of dirt have I been complaining about? And God, you've given me everything that I need. And you've spoken to me about what to do. God, let me be faithful and courageous today to step in and take that step of action, to put the car from park into drive, so God, that your whispers come fresh once again. Let's go into a time of worship together this morning.